something that children across the world and over the centuries have in common is a love of stories, and reading or telling a bedtime story is also, of course, one of the most special things about being a parent. A mother from Billericay who is so passionate about storytelling that she decided to publish some of the stories she's written for her own children is Sibel Beadle. And Sibel joins me now. Good morning to you, Sibel.
Good morning.
Now, it's a particular series of stories that you're publishing. We will talk about that in a moment, because I'm fascinated to learn all about Miranda, who is a witch. But before we do that, interesting talking about storytelling in particular, or more generally. And for you, it wasn't just about reading stories to your children, was it?
No, it wasn't. I had a love of storytelling because when I was a little kid, every Sunday my dad would have us in their bed and tell us stories that he made up about two boys who had loads of adventures. And it made me feel very special. I thought I'm the most important person in the universe, that my daddy made up a story for me. So when I had children of my own, I continued with that tradition. And I, every night, made up another story for my kids at bedtime. And my kids love the stories, so I continued doing it.
So it was really about the fact that your dad took the time and effort to do that that made you feel loved and feel special.
Yes, it made me feel very special, and I wanted my children to have the same experience.
And did you find making up stories an easy thing to do?
Yes, very much, because, you know, when you have your kids in your arms and you are cuddling them and they are begging you, "Mummy, what happened next? What happened next?" It's very easy just to make it up.
And obviously gave you a lot of pleasure, or gives you a lot of pleasure.
It does, yeah.
As well. Why do you think stories are so important for children?
I think it helps their imagination because they see the world through different eyes than what we do. Mm. And it's a very beautiful way of looking at the world. And I think it's very precious.
Now, this particular series of stories, as I was saying, about a witch called Miranda. Looking forward to hearing about her in a bit. But tell us first how that idea first came about and how you started making up those stories about Miranda.
How it started was, well, first I was just telling stories to my kids at bedtime. But a couple of years ago, something very unfortunate happened. I was getting divorced and my kids went away on holiday for 2 weeks with their dad for the first time. I found that very, very difficult to be away from my kids.
How old were they at the time?
At the time, they were 5 and 7.
Right.
And I had bought my older daughter a mobile phone so she can stay in touch with me. But my ex-husband didn't like it very much when I called them. So when bedtime came, she started texting me desperately that she wants a good night story. So I started texting her on WhatsApp a story. And the reason that ended up turning into a book is because during those 2 weeks, every night when I told them the story, I could remember what I had written the night before. And in 2 weeks, I basically ended up writing an entire storyline for a new book.
So it was literally telling a whole story by text.
Literally.
In installments.
Yeah.
That's quite incredible.
Via WhatsApp, actually.
Right. And then it sort of developed from there, did it?
It developed from there because my younger daughter then also texted me saying, Mummy, you know, can we tell this story to my friends and so on. And I thought, oh, well, if I'm going to read the story to their friends, I have to write it better. So I had to edit it. I sat down and edited. Then I read it to their friends and then their friends wanted me to read the story in school. And that was horrifying because I'm a foreigner and English is not my native language. So I thought I need to really get behind this book and start editing it. So I spent an enormous amount of time and I asked a professional editor to go over the book to help me. And that's how it all started. The more my kids demanded that I tell the story to their friends, the more I wanted to write it better. And then at some point I decided I want to illustrate it. And I asked my kids to do illustrations. They love doing that. And I took the illustrations that they made and I sent it to a professional illustrator and asked him to put this in a professional format so I can publish it with the book.
So it's really quite an evolution from something that started from a very unfortunate situation and something very simple in terms of just texting, I guess, what had to be a relatively short story. It sort of mushroomed from there.
It mushroomed from there, and also while I wrote the stories for my kids, when I was writing it, I got to realize that I was also writing it partly for myself.
Okay.
Because the stories were helping me to heal, and it was helping me to stay in touch with my kids when they were away. So it just turned into something very beautiful, and I'm really happy that I was able to turn something very sad into something very beautiful.
What a story in itself, and something that hopefully can encourage and maybe inspire other people as well, even though they are simple fairy stories for young children. These things can have an effect on many different levels, can't they?
I think so, and I think every child feels special when their mom or their dad makes up a story for them. It's a very different connection with a child.
Absolutely. Look, it's absolutely fascinating. Looking forward to finding out about Miranda and about the stories themselves, but also talking a little bit more about your inspiration and how you actually find the inspiration to write the story. So do stick around, Sibel.
Phoenix FM.
Phoenix FM, Alan Johnson in for Naomi Sayers with the Feel Good Saturday. It's just gone at 25 past 11, and I'm chatting with Sibel Beadle from Billericay about a series of stories that she wrote for her own children. Originally started off as text messages while they were away with their father, and which grew from there, and she's now decided to publish. Now, Sibel, they're called the Witchy Travel Tales, that's right, isn't
it? Yes, Witchy Travel Tales.
And they're about a witch called Miranda. Now, I think with a name like Miranda, she's probably quite a friendly witch. Am I right with that?
She is a very friendly witch. She's a very good mom, clumsy. She can't drive really properly.
And so she can drive, but not very well.
She can drive, but she's a really horrible driver. She can't do a lot of things very good, but she does one thing very well. She loves her daughters, and she does everything to help them.
Right, so where did the story begin? Where are the sisters from?
So I first wrote the second story, which was a story trying to help my daughter fall asleep at night, because my daughter gets very scared at nighttime. She's scared of the dark, she's scared of everything. And she was away with her dad, and again, struggling to fall asleep at nighttime. And I invented the first story about a story around Stonehenge, where there is an ancient spell around Stonehenge. And if you go as a child and walk around Stonehenge and tell the spell, you can fall asleep with no problem for the next 1,000 nights. So that was my first story. But I couldn't just start with that story, so I had to find a beginning for it.
Uh-huh.
And all the stories are about ancient sites in England and in Scotland. And I had to find a good place where a witch wanted to set roots.
Mm-hmm.
And by coincidence, my nanny was going away for the weekend when my kids were away to the Seven Sisters Cliffs. And she said...
That's in Sussex, isn't it?
Yeah. She said, do you want to come with us? And I thought, oh, this is a great idea. Let me go. You know, Seven Sisters Cliffs sounds good. We went there. I fell in love with the place. It was so magical. And then I thought, oh, Miranda has to be shipwrecked at the Seven Sister Cliffs to start the story.
Uh-huh.
But then, obviously, Seven Sister Cliffs, I wanted to keep a continuity. So I thought Miranda must have seven daughters. Now, from there, it started getting very difficult, because to invent seven girls who are completely different but from the same mom, and there is enough connection between them to make them look like siblings, it took me about 1.5 years to develop all the characters.
So you wanted to develop a distinct character that would mean something for each of the seven daughters.
I wanted to have very different daughters. I wanted each of my daughters to be able to have their own adventures. And I wanted my daughters to be somehow connected or interlinked, so there should be connections between them. So basically inventing that part of the book took me a lot of effort and a lot of fun, obviously, because it was really nice. And I would tell my daughters what I'm thinking of. And both my daughters are characters in the book. One is my fourth daughter, one is my fifth daughter in the story. And one is called in the story Viva, which means to live, in Italian, and the other one is called Kai in the story, which means ocean in Hawaiian. And all my kids, one is Russian, one is Arabic, one is, you know, one is Aisha, one is Tatiana, one is called Ada, is Eastern European. So it's not very clear where all these kids come from and how it is, and it's never explained.
It doesn't matter, does it? It's a story.
No, because the child needs to imagine that part themselves.
Absolutely, and that's all part of the magic of it, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So they've been shipwrecked at the base of the Seven Sisters cliffs,
so basic,
and it goes from there. That's the first story.
That's the first story, basically. Miranda loves her daughters and she wants them to live with her forever. Therefore, she decides to get on a boat and travel seven seas in search of a home that's so beautiful that her daughters would never want to leave. And then the night they get shipwrecked at the Seven Sister Cliff, she discovers that it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. And they build seven houses on the seven cliffs and live. And the whole story goes from there.
What sort of ages are the stories aimed at? Because you said your own children were 7 and 9 when you first created
When I
Miranda.
First started, they were 5 and 7.
Sorry, 5 and 7.
5 and 7. They are now 8 and 10. My stories are mainly for kids from 3 to 8, I would say. However, my older daughter, who is 10, still loves my stories because she's sort of a little becoming a teenager and she listens to Minecraft and so on. But when bedtime comes, she's like a 3-year-old, really scared little girl who just wants to hear something that's comforting. And Miranda is a comforting type of witch.
And it sounds like they're the sort of stories that even though they're aimed at very young children, that even an adult could enjoy on a certain level.
Yes, a lot of moms that read the story said they really loved it. And one also important part that's part of every story is the book purposefully tries to get children to want to go and visit ancient sites.
Mm-hmm.
So when you read my second book about Stonehenge, I can guarantee you that your little girl is going to say, "Mom, could you please take me to Stonehenge?"
So, is that a theme running through each of the stories?
All of the stories. So, the first book takes place at the Seven Sister Cliffs. The second book is called Sleepless in Stonehenge, and it takes place in Stonehenge. They travel there, the witch and two of her daughters. The third story takes place in the Lake District, which I thought is one of the most beautiful places I have ever seen in my life, and I wanted to write
a
story.
And it was recently designated World Heritage Site.
It's so fascinating, and I want every child to go to the Lake District, and that's why I wrote a book about the Lake District. But it's a witchy story, so it's fun for the children.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not written for an adult. It's written for a child who wants to explore the same stones that the witch's daughter find, for example. Then the fourth story is about Nessie's husband. So I decided that Nessie needs to have a husband and wrote a story.
The monster, the Loch Ness monster.
Loch Ness monster, yeah. So I created a husband for him, and you'll have to read the story. And there is a reason why I did that, but you would need to read it. So you have to go to Scotland. But Nessie's husband lives in different lochs than Nessie because he's a frog. And Nessie is, in my story, half salamander, half frog. And the reason I chose a frog is because frogs are the best dads in the world. So when you, for example, look at frogs in Costa Rica, the poison dart frog, the dad takes the eggs and climbs up trees and puts the eggs in different sort of pockets of water. And then when the babies hatch, the dad goes, gets food and feeds the tadpoles. So I thought, what a fantastic dad to have. And I thought, I want to write a story about a dad like that. So that's how Nessie's husband was created. Then the fifth book is going to be my favorite one, but it's not for all children because I specifically wanted to write a book for children who have to go to hospital and have to go through a difficult treatment. I came up with the story idea because my daughter, when she was 8 days old, I almost lost her, and I had to go to the hospital and stay in the hospital for some time period with her. And I think parents who have to take a child to a hospital are in a very difficult situation. So I wanted to write a book just specifically for those parents and kids.
Wow. There sounds like an awful lot in there. So it's about having fun and sort of that escapism, but also a bit of an education and also inspiration and encouragement. So on so many levels, you're doing some great things here. I'm fascinated to find out a little bit about how you get the ideas and what inspires you, Sybil, with the stories.
You need to keep in mind that I wrote every story when my kids were away, and because it was so painful for me to have them away, I always go hiking. And I go hiking in beautiful places.
This is on your own, presumably?
On my own. I take my German Shepherd with me.
Right.
It's a beautiful, wonderful dog. And, you know, the first time my kids went away, I even found it difficult to fall asleep at night. And I would wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning, and I would take my dog and start hiking. And I usually had to hike 5, 6, 7, 8 hours before I was calm enough to sit down. But then every time I sat down, I wanted to write something about the beautiful place I was in. So that's how I created the stories.
And what about now? Do you find that you need to be in a particular frame of mind to...
I need to be very relaxed, and I would need to feel very happy to be able to write a very happy book. Because these books are for kids at sleep time, and I don't want the stories to be in any way disturbing to the child. So I have to slip into the mindset of a child. That's why I have to go hiking a couple of hours. And I, you know, if my kids are away just for the weekend, I hike to my local pub, the Bear in Stock, and I just sit down there and write for a couple of hours.
When did you decide that you wanted to share them with a wider audience? You wanted to actually publish them?
That came very gradually. Originally, I was just trying to write it better and better because more and more friends asked me to read these books to their friends, and more kids wanted me to read these books in schools and things like that. So I thought, you know, it has to look professional to be able to do that. But then once I finished it and I had a beautiful product, I felt I want to share it with other people.
And how did you go about doing that?
I went down the route of self-publishing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a very particular mindset of what I want the books to be about. And also the illustrations on the books are very different than illustrations in other books. It's very stylish. It's very artsy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought a publisher wouldn't give me that much freedom. And I didn't want to compromise my ideas and my book in any way. So I never even tried to go to a publisher. I immediately started with self-publishing.
Right. And you're publishing now, so people will be able to get hold of the books.
Yes.
And you're being helped with that by...
So I found a fantastic publishing house, Grosvenor House Publishing. And they make the books available on Amazon. And you can order hard copies from there. And my first book is coming out on Amazon next week. So if you type Witchy Travel Tales, you would get...
Witchy Travel Tales.
Yes.
And Emily Hawkes is helping you with sort of launching the whole thing and promoting things as well. Emily's here as well in the background.
I am. Hello.
You've got a couple of launch events coming up?
Yes, we have. So the official book launch of the first book, The Seven Sisters, is on the 8th of October at midday at the Peapod Cafe in Billericay. So Sybil will be there. Her book will be there. She'll be reading. We've got some craft activities. The Peapod are sponsoring it. And then, obviously, we'll do a book signing, and it will be a great event. And then we've got some throughout October at Rockies, Barleylands, the Nurture Barn in Braintree, plus lots more venues that we're booking currently.
Excellent. And Sibel, we've got to wind up now because time is getting the better of us. But what about your ideas for the future? Are you going to carry on with Miranda, or have you got some other ideas for different stories?
I have so many ideas already. You now have to remember Miranda has seven daughters, and obviously I can use combinations of them. So most stories take place because a child has a wish, and Miranda finds an ancient spell that needs to be activated, and that child chooses a companion, and they go together to explore this place and the ancient spell. So I have a good 10 books lined up, but most importantly, my kids still love my stories, even my 10-year-old, and the dad always takes them to very interesting places. They went to Vietnam this summer. And you can imagine I sort of miss them and worry about them a lot when they are so far away. So I'll continue writing to them bedtime stories for as long as they are willing to listen to me.
That's tremendous. Sibel, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.